Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You're right now pleased to welcome Reggie Kelly, a longtime NFL tight end, played for the Falcons as well as for the Cincinnati Bengals. And Reggie and I met going back to the Super Bowl in Atlanta and instantly became friends. And now we consider ourselves to be family. And whenever I think of Reggie, I think hopeful and positive, because those are two things that he really epitomizes and really oozes, actually. So, Reggie, how are you staying hopeful and positive right now?
Absolutely. And being a man of faith, you know, I always go back to the scriptures, you know, in all things to give thanks, because this is the will of God. And then all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, for those who are called according to his purpose. I know that all things may not seem good. We do go through some tough times as we're going through right now. Sometimes things really hurt, sting really bad. And it's very painful. And in the midst of so much uncertainty, the one thing I am certain about is that God does still love us, and he's still in control. And the best is yet to come. I always believe that. I'm an optimist. I often think that, you know, after the storm, there's always sunshine and there's always a rainbow, but we just have to wait the storm out, because joy does come in the morning. And so I try to encourage my kids, in the same sense, to say, listen, even though we're going through this type of a pandemic, there's always some good that can come out of it. We just have to pivot. We have to be creative. We have to think outside the box. And if we do just that, trust me, we can enjoy, you know, even in the midst of so much pain. Say, for instance, you know, yesterday we celebrated my daughter's 16th birthday.
Oh, my gosh.
Sweet 16, and listen, you know how it is. She's a teenager, right? We had planned a party, you know, the whole deal. She wanted to have, you know, hang out with her friends, the whole time. So we pretty much planned a big deal. But, you know, and when she knew that was not going to happen, sure, you know, a little bit of sadness set in. But we tried to make it really, really special for her. We created an entire weekend that was surrounded by things that she liked, things she wanted daddy to cook. And then we surprised her with a virtual birthday party yesterday, last night, where our friends were on, family members, people she hadn't seen in a long time that came on and wished her a happy birthday through Zoom.
Aww.
And I tell you, she was really, really emotional, and she really did enjoy it. And I just said this, listen, baby, what we'll do is right now we have to play it safe. We have to make sure that our health is most important. But afterwards, when things does clear up, we're going to throw you a big party, you know, let you do some things that you really wanted to do. So you just got to hold off a little bit, put it on pause. And then once pause is off, then we can get back to play as usual. And so that's how we're trying to approach this whole thing. Amen. I know that you're a positive person as well. I know that you look at things predominantly from the same viewpoint as I do as well. And I know that things are going to get better, but we have to stick together, have to fight hard, and we have to use great wisdom.
Reggie Kelly, former NFL tight end, with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio from Atlanta. There's been a lot of stuff that's happened in football, which has been, I don't know, at times almost surreal to me, because it's like the NFL never, you know, missed a beat at all. And one of the things that has happened is in the NFC South, where the Buccaneers bring in Tom Brady, and then they also bring in Rob Gronkowski, who kind of comes out of his pseudo retirement. And so I remember thinking of you too, wondering, like, huh, what are Reggie Kelly ever considered, like, coming back to football after we retired? It's such a physical position. Did you?
No. Absolutely not. You know, it feels good, Amy, to wake up on a Monday morning, not having to soak, not having to ice, not having to hear a coach rip your head off for minor mistakes. It feels absolutely great to just wake up and just have your kids have you pulling your hair out instead of the coaches. And so I take that any day. And so, but to see, you know, I'll be honest with you, I never saw this happen. I never thought that Tom Brady in a million years would leave the Patriots. Never. Mm. I thought he would retire a Patriot, and I thought he would go through the whole speech, the whole nine yards. But, wow, you just never know in the NFL how things pan out. We always know the NFL is an acronym, right, meaning not for long. And that in turn that in turn means as well, I guess, for a particular team that you may play for as well. But it's going to be very exciting to see what Bruce Arians and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers do with such a potent quarterback and bringing in so many of it, you know, so many great weapons to be around him as well, especially with big time tight end like Gronkowski, man. He's going to bring a lot of life to the city, a lot of explosion to the team. And, you know, the NFC South is filled with explosive offenses. And, man, I just can't wait to see what this entails. You know, Bruce Arians used to be my offensive coordinator when I was in Michigan. So I know him and know him quite well. When he retired from coaching, that brief span, you know, he and I talked back and forth while he was, I think he was on the tube commentating. And then when he got the job, you know, he and I, we still talk off and on and just catch up. And so he's a great guy, fiery guy, headstrong guy. And he's turned that program around just 1 year, in my opinion. So bringing in Tom Brady, that's a big-time catch. And I'm sure that they're singing his praises right now. At least until the season gets started.
How would you describe his offensive philosophy? Because he has some kind of quirky phrases that he uses. But also, he wrote a book about quarterbacks and really his time working with quarterbacks in addition to the, you know, the path he took to get to the NFL. But how would you describe what he can do with an offense?
He's unconventional. And he's always been that way. He's an unconventional guy, and he's not predictable. You really don't know what Coach Arians is going to do. You really have no clue. Each week brings his own type of challenges, and he looks at them totally different than any other offensive coordinator that I've been affiliated with. And from the outside eye, they look a little strange. And he's gotten into some trouble as far as, like, some teams that just didn't quite – maybe some head coaches that just didn't quite have the same viewpoint that he had on certain plays that he may have called during certain situations, especially crucial situations in the course of a game. And there's been a lot of fans that may have disagreed with him, but he stuck with his type and his type of coaching, and it's panning out really well for him. You know, he's a trendsetter. He does things his way. He's very aggressive in his play calling, and he's not going to allow anybody to persuade him otherwise than to be who he really is. And I can appreciate that. In the world that we live in, so many coaches, so many people are often trying to imitate each other. But he's an originator. He's going to stick with his beliefs. He's going to stick with his guns. And he's going to go down. He's going to go down fire and go down blazing. And that's the thing that I love about Coach. The next thing, he's just going to tell you exactly how you feel, whether you like it or not. If you don't want to know the truth, don't ask him. If you don't, and that's true, not just for. In front of the cameras, that's true, not for just football life, just everyday life. I remember when I was in high school, he came and visited. You know, my family came down, you know, visited as he tried to recruit us. And, I mean, he was just as blunt and straightforward to my parents. He didn't try to sugarcoat anything. Wasn't trying to tell my parents anything that they just wanted to hear. And they fell in love with him. They fell in love because they said, this guy is at least a straight shooter. The other coaches were just trying to tell us what we wanted to hear, but he told us exactly what we needed to hear, and it made our decision easy.
Mm. Reggie Kelly was a tight end with the Atlanta Falcons, also with the Cincinnati Bengals, and he's here with us after hours, CBS Sports Radio. The Bengals have gone through a facelift as well. They get Joe Burrow out of LSU, and they've got a relatively new coach, too, in Zach Taylor. A lot of buzz there. What's your reaction to what your other former franchise is doing now as they hit the reset button?
You know, last year, I must admit, I was really disappointed last year. You know, Coach Taylor came, you know, from the Rams, a highly recruited coach, guy that was blazing it, very innovative as far as in his play calling. So, you know, I was a little disappointed, but not just me. I think a lot of people, former players, the NFL was disappointed with the record that our Bengals held last year. And I know we competed, but it just didn't seem like, if something didn't go wrong here, something went wrong there, then the whole Andy Dalton situation, and it was just so many downs and just maybe a few ups here and there. But I still believe in Coach Taylor, and I think that he's going to have this organization and put this organization in a position to win football games. And I think starting with drafting a big-time quarterback like Joe Burrow, I mean, that speaks volumes. This guy, from what I've seen, especially in that championship game, this guy is a tremendous leader, has tremendous heart, tremendous focus. And you put all that in place, and you put all of that and add all that in accord with his talent, I think the sky's the limit for this particular organization. We just have to make sure we build the right, core group of guys around him by protecting him so his confidence can continue to be built. Anytime you're thrown into the Lions den and you're playing against the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens, and I think a upward trending Cleveland Browns type of a team, man, your confidence can be swayed quite quickly. And so they have to make sure that they put the right type of core group of guys around them, establish a really good running game, and make sure that they, adhere to his strengths, which to me, he's a good runner and a good passer. There's nothing that he can't do. I'm excited. I think we have a great opportunity. I'm not sure how long it's going to take, but I'm hoping that the Bengals stick with Coach Taylor. I'm hoping that we get the right type of players around this great quarterback. And I'll be honest with you, and I know a lot of people are probably going to hate me saying this. A lot of people are going to hate me saying this, but, man, he does remind me of Carson. He does remind me of Carson Palmer. Big, tall, smart kid that knows how to execute, knows how to demand respect out of your team, and knows how to get the job done. Now, it didn't end well with Carson and the Cincinnati Bengals, so a lot of people got to hate me for saying that, but I think this kid can truly, truly be a big-time trendsetter.
What impact on a rookie quarterback when you can't get together for rookie OTAs, when you can't start to work with your receivers, though, Reggie?
I really think that that's going to hurt a lot of the rookies, not just quarterback, but especially the quarterback position. I think that when you're talking about a young player that's taking over an NFL franchise, that right there is intimidating. And you think about a young player that's drafted so he can change the whole direction of a franchise, that's intimidating. And then you think about the division that you're playing in. I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers, they throw so many defensive fronts, so many blitz packages, so many coverages. It is absolutely mind-boggling for a tight end, for a receiver, not to mention a young quarterback. And we're not talking about a veteran. And I think that any opportunity that he has to be in the classroom with his quarterback coach, to be in the classroom with his offensive coordinator, and to actually rep different routes with his receiver so he can get a feel of timing with them, the way that they run their routes, how they prefer the ball being thrown to them. Yes, and then he has to think about the actual checks, the actual pre-snap reads, the actual progression he has to go through each plate. That is a lot. And the more reps he can get, the more classroom sessions he can get in person, the better. That's one thing about Zoom. Okay, that's fine. But you don't get the same effect when you're actually there in person, getting a hands-on feel from your coaches, from your teammates as well. And I think that will hurt. That will hurt a lot of these quarterbacks, but that's why you're getting paid the big bucks. You have to pivot, you have to make adjustments, and you have to still play because the fans are not going to feel sorry for you and sing Kumbaya just because there's this time off. They're still going to be expecting the same type of productivity on the football field, because if we do get a chance for fans to go back and have an opportunity to watch NFL games in the stadium, they're still going to be paying their money, and so they still won't get the same productivity. But we'll see how all that pans out, depending on how long this pandemic may last.
We're talking to Reggie Kelly, longtime Falcons and Bengals tight end. And Reggie, I want to ask you your thought about the Rooney Rule. This piece of it, the draft incentives, was tabled by the owners. But what do you think? Is there a way to do this that's still respectful?
Just my first thought. I think that there are tons of great coaches out there, and there are tons of great white coaches, there are tons of great black coaches, there are tons of great just minority coaches. in general. And Coach Lewis definitely is one of my favorites. I just think that teams need to be fair and pick the best man for the job. And I really believe that. And I believe that there are tons of African-American coaches out there that are really, really can be a really big asset. I think that there are tons of some really good African-American coaches out there that can really get the job done and can really bring home a championship, which is what the organizations are looking for in of itself as well. And I think that a lot of times teams are doing their players, I think they're doing the organization and the cities a disservice when you don't pick good coaches. I think that sometimes, and I do believe this, sometimes, and I think it's been said by some other analysts as well, sometimes owners tend to be geared toward their own skin color simply because that's what they can relate to. Now, I'm not saying that that's always factual, but I've heard that on a number of occasions. And sometimes that is the easy way out. There are a lot of great coaches, in my opinion, Amy, that's out there getting the job done. And I, me personally, I don't care if you're black or white. If you can get the job done, get the job done. And if you have a great coach, especially an African-American coach that you know can get the job done, go ahead and give him a shot. Give him a shot. Let him do what you paid him to do. And if you don't get the job done, you just don't get it done. I don't think that there should be a lot of extra incentives, in my opinion. I just, for whatever reason, I just rather not go that route. I just say, hey, if you see a guy that can get the job done, do the right thing and sign him on board. But what's your thoughts on that? That's just me. What do you think about that?
Well, as a woman who works in a male-dominated business, my experience is a little different, and yet I can understand not having the same opportunities. And I always was of the opinion, I don't care if I'm your first choice, your second choice, your third choice. However the door opens for me, once you give me the job, I will prove to you I was the right choice. And so I believe that sometimes, as you say, the opportunities even to interview aren't granted because we gravitate toward what we know, whether it's overt or whether it's a subconscious thing. And because I always looked and sounded different in this business, there were times when I was passed over even for the chance to interview. So while I don't necessarily like the idea of an incentive that a company can take advantage of, I do think the more opportunities, the better. Because if Eric Bieniemy can get in front of a handful of other teams, no doubt he can impress them and he can prove to them that he is head coaching material. So I think the extra opportunities to me make sense. I do think that if the NFL has to mandate the number of interviews that are being conducted, then so be it, because these guys just need a chance in many cases.
Yes, and I agree with you with that 100% because I think that some, you know, for me, and this could be just me being naive, I'm always the guy to say, just do the right thing, man. Mm-hmm. Do what's right. If the roles were reversed and if you were put in this situation, would you want somebody to give you a shot if you deserve the opportunity? So do the right thing. But in society that we live in today, whether if it's corporate America or the entertainment business or the NFL, a lot of times people don't want to do the right thing, and you have to put pressure on them, so to speak. But, man, I just hate to use that word in a lot of sense. You have to put pressure on people to do the right thing. Man, that has never set well with me. But yet still, this is the world that we live in, and so I can definitely understand that as well. And I think that you gave a great analogy, and made a great point, especially in regards to females. In this type of industry that we live in and that I've lived and breathed for so many years, sometimes females are overlooked. Sometimes African-Americans are overlooked in certain situations as well. But, man, if you got the ability, if you got the gifts, if you have the talents, man, somebody please give that person the opportunity so those talents can blossom and flourish on the big stage so that everybody can see what they're capable of doing. And the next thing it does as well, Amy, it gives the next generation hope. When you see somebody that looks like you or your same gender and you see that they've gotten an opportunity and you see that they flourish, it also can help that next generation to have hope that they can also flourish and that they have an opportunity to be put in that same position and still get a fair shake at it. Again, you know, I'm not really all for, you know, the incentive package, I guess you could say, but if that's what it takes, if pressure is what it takes just so a certain gender or a certain race or a certain culture can get an opportunity. And guess what? That may be what we need. And then once they get the opportunity, kick the door down, kick some butt, prove them wrong, do your thing, elevate your game, you know, make sure that you prosper, and not just for yourself, but also for the next generation coming behind you.
Absolutely. Fantastic discussion. I love it, which is one of the reasons why I'm always so excited to have you on the show. So you can find Reggie on Twitter at ReggieKelly82, a longtime NFL tight end, and certainly a guy that I could talk to all day long, not to mention homemade peach cobbler he made recently. It's on his Twitter. So you got to check that out. It looked amazing, Reggie.
But you know, during this quarantine, Lissus, you know, we've been coming up, my family have been doing so much cooking. But you know the downfall when you do so much cooking, you grow. You grow. And I don't mean vertically. I mean horizontally.
Oh, I understand. I've been baking cookies and then trying to find people to give them away to because I absolutely cannot be eating them all myself. So I get that. Well, Reggie, it's great to connect with you. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Amy, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure. Let's do this sometime very soon in the near future. God bless, young lady.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.